Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of men, for they will hand you over to courts and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be led before governors and kings for my sake, as a witness before them and the pagans. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. You will be given at that moment what you are to say. For it will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will hand over brother to death, and the father his child. Children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But whoever endures to the end will be saved." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Throughout the Church's liturgical calendar, when we celebrate major liturgical seasons, saints' days are relegated weaker. So if something would ordinarily, for example, toward the end of February, be an obligatory memorial, remembrance of a saint that the priest has to celebrate, in Lent, for example, if Lent's early, it becomes an optional memorial. Likewise, for all the feast days of the saints, in Easter season. Likewise, for the saints' feast days in the Christmas and Advent seasons, with a couple of exceptions. Later on this week, we'll have St. Thomas Becket. St. Thomas Becket is an optional memorial. It happens during the Christmas octave. Don't have to do it. We'll have St. Sylvester on December 31st. Optional, because it happens during this Christmas octave, and Christmas always trumps. Yet, December 26th and December 27th, we get the martyrdom of St. Stephen and the feast of St. John the Evangelist, and up they are made to liturgical feasts, not even just obligatory memorial, but feasts. Why? This feast of the martyrdom of St. Stephen teaches us something very important about Christmas that we marked yesterday. And it's something that the Church doesn't want a daily communicant to have the option to miss. It's that Jesus, who came and was born on that silent night, placed in the manger with the angels singing, coming to bring peace on earth, he himself was born to fight. Not that he had come into this world to pick a fight, but he was someone who would come into the world where, as we heard yesterday in the prologue of St. John's Gospel, there would be many who would not accept him. And in not accepting him, they wouldn't just keep him on the periphery of their life, but because they knew that those hands would be insistently knocking upon the hearts and upon the consciences of them all, he bore a message. And in order to drown out that message, they had to oppose and ultimately kill that murderer. And we, as we celebrate Christmas, need to know that this is the Christian vocation as well. Just as Jesus was accepted by many and became the path of salvation, he was also rejected by many. Jesus tells us in the Gospel today that our family members are going to betray us, that we're going to be dragged before civil tribunals, that we're going to be hated by everybody because of his name. Not because of our own deeds, not because of our sins, but we'll be hated the more and more we're conformed to him. And if we're not hated, if we're not opposed, one of the reasons is probably because we're not sufficiently conformed to him. Even a person who was totally conformed to him, like Blessed Mother Teresa, was one who was opposed by a whole bunch of people who thought she was a fraud, that all her charity was just simply to become famous, to try to win the Nobel Prize. This is what really intelligent people who didn't want to to accept that she was acting with the love with which she had received from the Lord, that was possible and true. Today we celebrate Saint Stephen. And in the opening prayer, we ask God the Father to give us the grace to imitate what we worship. As we come and adore Christ the Lord in the manger, that's not enough. The Lord wants to give us His help so that we might learn how to imitate Jesus. Saint Stephen imitated Jesus in three very notable ways. First way he imitated Jesus was by the way he lovingly passed on Jesus' word. He recognized that the greatest gift he could give to anybody was Jesus. He wanted to pass on Jesus' wisdom. He wanted to continue to echo Jesus' words. So he got to know those words very well, and he got to know them so well that he was able to refute all the people who had come to pick a fight with him about the meaning of sacred scripture. In today's first reading, we see certain members of the so-called synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, people from Cilicia and Asia, came forward and would continually debate with Stephen. But they couldn't withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. It wasn't all just study. He was a man filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit always brings fire. And in the middle of those debates, the Holy Spirit was giving him what he needed. Likewise, if we love others, we need to bear that witness to others. We've got to get to know our faith in such a way that the Holy Spirit can then use that gift in order to be able to continue to lead people to the way that leads to heaven. That's the first way he imitated who we worshiped. It says about Jesus in the gospel that he had compassion on the crowds, and therefore he began to teach them. Likewise, if we have mercy like Jesus, we're going to want to pass on his teaching. Second way Saint Stephen learned how to emulate what he worshipped was through service. Like the other six first deacons, they waited at tables. They did that service because there was a dispute in the early Christian community between the Greek and the Hebrew widows. Everybody was more or less minding their own business, caring for themselves, bringing their own food. And the Hebrew widows were being neglected. That's why the first deacons were made. Some people can say when the apostles said, we don't have time to wait on table because we've got to have the ministry of the word and we've got to go on out and celebrate the sacraments. People can say, well, they were dumping the work of charity on some others. It wasn't that at all. What they were saying was that the church's work of charity is just as important as the preaching of the word and the celebration of the sacraments, and can't be neglected, and somebody can't do it all. And so in order to elevate and make sure that that work of charity gets done, that's where the deacons first came through. But that's a work of the whole church and not just the diaconal order. Saint Stephen did that work with great fire. Likewise, if we're going to imitate the one we adore, who came not to be served but to serve, who seeks constantly to wash our feet, then we must really be moved like Saint Stephen was, to love others in concrete deeds, to do the dirty work, to wait at tables, rather than to expect others to get on up and serve us. This is a constant call. Christmas is a season in which we love others, not by Amazon gift cards and the rest, but we are called to love each other by our time, by our visits, by the amount of care that we give in writing a letter rather than just signing a name to other people's words. These are the types of ways in which we can begin to grow more and more in imitation of the one who gave all. And then the third and supreme way in which Saint Stephen imitated the Lord whom he adored was through his death. His death was an exclamation point on his entire life, which was trying to emulate the Lord. But we see just how great the conformity was at the very end, where St. Stephen's two last words were almost echoes of Jesus' words from the cross, when he says, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." The ones who were throwing stones against him in a pit, hammering his head. Just think about how painful that was, as probably most of us would be trying to protect ourselves from the stones. St. Stephen's priority at that very moment was to beg the Lord not to impute the guilt of that terrible murder on the murderers. So deeply had he entered into Christ, whom he constantly adored. That was Jesus' first words from the cross. Jesus' last words from the cross were, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And St. Stephen's were, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He entrusted himself to Jesus so that in Jesus' entrustment to the Father, he himself would be received. We may not be stoned to death. God willing, none of us will be. But many Christians are. Earlier today in St. Peter's Square, Pope Francis gave an Angelus meditation in which he prayed specifically for the 38 Iraqi Christians who were murdered yesterday going to church, just trying to worship the Lord. They were killed for no other reason than because of the Lord Jesus' name by Muslim fanatics. We may not suffer that fate. God willing, we will not. But there will be many ways in which we will suffer. If we hold the church's teachings on marriage, we're going to be called homophobic. If we hold the church's teachings on abortion, we're going to be called misogynist and anti-woman. If we hold the church's teachings on sexuality in general, we're going to be called prudes. If we hold what Pope Francis has been saying with regard to trying to make the economy more humane, we're going to be called socialists and Marxists. We're going to get all those labels if we're faithful. But St. Stephen today shows us how to imitate the one we adore, and that as we adore him, we recognize that we are the disciples of the one who came into the world to fight. To fight not for his own advantage, but to fight out of love. To fight as a good shepherd defending his sheep from the wolves. To fight. Today, let's ask St. Stephen, through whose intercession we prayed to the Father, to help us, like him, to imitate the Lord we adore in the way that we spread our faith, the way we serve others with charity, and the way we live and die. St. Stephen the Apostle, pray for us.